If I should die, think only this of me, that there, son Connor, of a foreign field, that is forever England, there shall be in that rich earth a richer dust concealed, a dust whom England bore, shaped, made aware, gave once her flowers to love, her ways to roam. Hola! A body of England's, breathing English air, washed by the rivers, blessed by the sons of home. And think, this heart, all evil shed away, a pulse in the eternal mind, no less.
Turd, flushing toilet.
Give somewhere back the thoughts by England given. Her sights and sounds, dreams happy as her day, and laughter. Learns of friends and gentleness. In hearts at peace, under an English heaven.
Potato, the 2, potato, the 3, potato, the podcast, 4, potato, the 5, potato, the 6, potato, the podcast. You're listening to the Hot Potato, the podcast on your radio. This is where you go to get your hot potato fix. This is Hot Potatoes with an host of hot potato. I've eaten quite a large amount and now I'm going to be sick. It's the Hot Potatoes podcast. Please welcome your hosts, one potato and another potato. Hello there! Welcome to Hot Potatoes!
Hello from me also.
Right, well, it's the first Hot Potatoes, as you know, and I've written a speech. You looking forward to this?
Always love your speeches. Please hit me with it.
Okay, here we go. There are many different types of potato in the world, from the smooth and sexy Carlingford, ideal for boiling, to the noble Duke of York, an oval-shaped potato with a creamy interior that's ideal for roasting. Be it a Desiree, a Maris Bard, an Osprey, or a Belle de Fontenay, the humble potato is an important part of all our lives. And it is for that reason that we, the two potatoes of Hot Potatoes, have chosen to examine every single one of them to get to the bottom of what's what. No stone will be left unturned, no field will escape the plough, no patch of ground will remain undug as we begin our quest to find, catalogue, clean, scrape, peel, boil, fry, roast, sauté, mash and consume all the world's potatoes. And so, without further ado, we'd like to welcome you all to the Hot Potatoes podcast. Whether you're a Dundrod, a King Edward, a Nadine, or a Pentland Javelin, we will peel back your skins and hold your waxy white interiors up to the microscope of important potato examination. Ladies and gentlemen, let the potatoes begin! Hey, did you like that?
There were one or two issues there.
Right, carry on.
Well, firstly, you missed out the Maris Piper.
Well, I thought it was a bit of an obvious potato. I did mention the Maris Bard.
And the new potato?
The new potato isn't really a breed of potato.
Well, breed, is that the right word?
Well, a variety of potato. I mean, what kind of a new potato are you on about? The Jersey Royal, the King Edward?
But also, we've discussed what we're doing with this podcast, and hot potatoes, it's not a literal thing, is it?
Well, what we're on about is when we say hot potatoes, we don't mean we're talking about potatoes. It's not a podcast about potatoes. We are saying all of the subjects on Earth are individual potatoes. So, for instance, the film The Day of the Jackal, as far as the Hot Potatoes podcast is concerned, is a potato. You name something.
Jossie's Giants.
That's a potato.
Right, it's not a very hot one.
Well, it's not a hot potato. Well, yeah, but they don't have to be particularly hot potatoes. I mean, I would say, at least going back to the first millennium, they're still lukewarm.
So long as we're clear, everything in your speech, every potato you mentioned was a metaphorical potato.
It was a metaphorical potato. So, for instance, the Dundrod, which is a English variety potato, that could stand for... well, what's been in the news recently?
Doc Cotton's, well, June Brown's 84th birthday.
June Brown's 84th birthday. So therefore, that's a done draw. The quit a King Edward. That could stand for these cuts. I'm shaking my fists.
Right.
These cuts. These cuts, yes. Whereas your Pentland Javelin could be the film Love Story from off of the 70s. You see how it works?
Yeah, potato basically means anything in this context.
Yeah, so all the world is a potato, with each part of the potato being an individual potato. Anyway, what's your first potato?
I've got a potato for you, and it's pretty hot.
Okay, fire away.
The Olympics 2012 set to be held in London, England.
In that London. Could you explain to the listeners where London is?
London is a tiny village located in south central UK.
Okay, it's in the county of Middlesex, isn't it?
It's one of the home counties, I think. Well, part of one of the home counties. I'm not entirely sure, actually.
Okay, and if we should really give it its correct title, which is That London.
That London, those Olympics, 2012. Tickets between £20 and 12 pence and £2012.
That's an outrage. I've got a list of things here that I wanted to see until I found the price. Found out the price. Should I list them?
Please do.
Archery, which I was going to go and see on the 28th of July, which I found is £65.
But what do you get for your £65, a whole day?
Well, yeah, you do get a whole day of people firing things at targets, but £65?
Well, yeah, you could do it at home, really, couldn't you?
And then I was going to go and watch the table tennis on the 2nd of August, but I found out that was £125. It is a final, though.
But why do you want to watch the whiff-waff?
Well, because I find it more engaging than normal tennis, ordinary tennis.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah, ordinary tennis is, I don't think, particularly inclusive. Whereas your table tennis, all the world gets to enjoy table tennis. Your Chinese, your... What are other races of nations of peoples?
The Africans.
Your Africans, your Eastern Europeans, your Soviets. They all get to play table tennis. Who gets to play tennis?
Well, anyone can, technically.
Your Swiss... There's a Scotch fella.
And Mandy.
Mandy Federer. There's some Eastern European girls and some Americans. That's not the whole rainbow of the world, is it?
It's not, but I'm not bothered about individual events, so I'm really only going to watch anything we might win something in. So what are those events?
Rowing and cycling.
But they're rubbish.
They are rubbish. Have you got any ideas, any suggestions what we could win at the Olympic Games?
Tig?
What, as in running around trying to catch somebody?
Well, you try and demean it by putting it so simply, but it's a pretty technical game.
Well, it wasn't that technical. I mean, as far as I remember, the whole point of Tig was to make sure that a girl was the person you ended up trying to Tig, just so you could try and feel her arse.
Well, if it's not complicated enough, Tiggy off ground.
So would it be men's Tig? Would it be mixed Tig? Women's Tig?
Mixed Tig.
So yeah. the bird would be it, wouldn't she?
Yeah, but I mean, you were saying it's not complicated enough. You could have Tiggy off ground, wicket 1, 2, 3. There are tons of variations.
Could you explain the rules of Tiggy off ground?
Yeah, Tiggy off ground is Tig, but if you're off ground, you can't be Tigged.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah. It was a bit like British Bulldogs, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And wicket 1, 2, 3, British Bulldog, that was quite violent, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. That was the one where you were saying it was like Tig, but crossed with rugby.
Yeah.
And the hill.
There's Cheney as well. Do you remember Cheney?
No. What, as in Dick Cheney, the former Vice President of the United States of America?
No, nothing to do with Lon Cheney Jr. either. It was spelt differently. It's chain as in a bicycle chain. You hold hands with people so that you're in a long line, and then the person in the middle starts rotating... And everyone rotates with them until you build up momentum and the people on the end go flying and injure themselves.
Break their necks. I remember that. Yes. I also remember the one where you get hold of a broom and you look at the broom and you rotate round and round and round and round and then you drop the broom and you fall over.
Oh, adults still play that at barbecues, I believe.
I thought you were going to say Adolf Hitler then.
Yeah, he was keen.
Well, I've got some suggestions of sports that would be A, cheap and B, we'd probably win.
A cheap, what does that mean?
Well, as in A and B.
Oh, I get you.
Do you see?
Yes.
Lovely. Right, well, the first one would be balancing things on top of other things.
Hmm.
We'd be very good at that, and I think you could only realistically charge at least £3.50 to get in.
What's the sort of like... Actually, no one's done that before.
No, exactly. So they haven't even done it on The World's Strongest Man, and they've done loads of things on there.
Right.
Right, number two, doing the Macarena.
Hard to judge, though, isn't it?
Whoa, Macarena. All right. I mean, I'm doing it now. What do you think?
I'm holding a lofty card with a number 8 on it.
Yo, I'm thinking financially. I mean, how much would you pay for that?
What, to see you Macarena?
Yes, yeah, see me Macarena. Not just me. I mean, competitors from around the world.
I'd pay you to piss off.
All right. Number 3, throwing sponges at the headmaster.
Well, who is the headmaster of the Olympics?
Well, the headmaster of the Olympics would be Sepp Blatter.
No, he's football.
He's a football man. Well, there's a man that looks like Sepp Blatter who's in charge of Olympics. What's his name?
I don't know, but maybe you're getting names mixed up. Sepp Coe could do it.
Is his name Jorge Olympiads?
I don't know.
Well, we could throw sponges at Jorge Olympiads.
Is this for the opening ceremony or
an actual
event?
No, this is sports that take the place of the usual sports that we could afford to go and watch and might possibly win. Do you want number 4?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Light lifting. Light weight lifting, only lifting lighter things.
So not even weights, not even
dumbbells.
Everyone
gets a go.
What sort of thing do you propose we lift?
Well, what's light? A packet of butter?
Well, that's easy.
What's that noise?
I'm sorry about that.
What is it?
They're still building a church next to my house.
Again? How many churches do these people need?
Tons. It's a densely populated area.
Right, well, finally, I've invented a new sport for the forthcoming Olympics called Grounts.
Grounds?
Grounts. It's spelled G-R-O-U-N-T-S.
Okay, what are the rules of grounds?
Well, I'll just tell you what it stands for. It stands for grunting outside for points. All right? Okay, essentially the rules are competitors take it in turn to grunt for the judges. The best grunts are awarded points, like in ice dancing.
Right.
Right, so, I mean, we can easily demonstrate this.
Yeah, what's a good grunt?
Well, like that. That sort of thing.
That's a good one. What's a bad one?
Well, it would be... So, I mean, if you imagine you're the competitor from West Germany...
No, I'm not being a German. Well, no offence to the Germans, but can't I be British?
East Germany?
Can't I be British?
All right, you're the competitor from Britain. I'm not happy about this. That makes me the competitor from East Germany. Mm. Anyway, right, well, you go first. Oh, that was quite nice. I'd give that an 8, at least.
Yeah.
An 8.0?
Yeah, so what? The other contestant judges...
Right, I'm just getting up to the podium now. Hold on. Okay. Oh, sorry, no, there are 3 judges, aren't there?
Yeah.
Well, I've given 8.0.
Me, from abroad, I give you 8.3.
And me, from off of abroad, I give you 9.3.
That's a good score.
That's a good score, isn't it? Right, so here's me now.
Hello, my name is Hans. I am from East Germany. I will beat you, British pig, with my grunting, do you see?
Right, so anyway, I'm up on the podium now.
Okay.
1, 2, 3...
For Germany!
What's that got me?
Well, I'd have to give it a 9, begrudgingly.
What about the other 2 judges?
You better ask them.
What do you mean you're the other 2 judges?
Oh,
I, from abroad, give you 7.
7?
And me, from abroad, gives you 9.5.
Yeah, and I win! Germany wins!
Trounced by the Jerrys again.
Germany wins! Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles! Well, I mean, I'm not quite happy about that. It doesn't really turn out as well as I expected. How much would you pay to watch Grants?
Oh, 30 pence.
Fucking expensive, that.
And now on Hot Potatoes... It's time for the very important electronic music of Los Bananos.
Hola, we are Los Bananos from Madrid in España, and this is our very important music. In this song, I will be inviting a sexy lady to a sexy disco, and if she says no, then I will kill her. Thank you.
Would you like to go to a sexy disco?
Would you like to go to a sexy disco? Would you like to go to a sexy disco? No? Then I will kill you. Would you like to play in my sexy panties? Would you like to play in my sexy panties? You don't like a man in sexy panties? No? Then I will kill you! Do you like me in a sexy cozy? Do you like me in a sexy cozy? Not in front of the children, you say? Then now we'll kill you. Would you like to go to my sexy disco? Would you like to go to my sexy disco? You will go to my sexy disco. It's sexy, no? No? Then now we'll kill you.
Do you have a hot potato this week?
I do indeed have a hot potato. It is the 1978 screen adaptation of Watership Down.
Who wrote that wonderful book?
That was a man called Richard Adams. Originally, he wrote it as a series of children's stories, so it's bedtime stories for his little girls, and they liked it so much, yada, 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 got published in 1972. That usually happens with a lot of these kids' books, doesn't it?
It does. I read this when I was a teenager for school.
Yes?
I've seen the film a few times. It's soul-crushingly depressing.
It is. Well, it's not entirely depressing. I mean, to fill readers, listeners in, essentially you've got a load of rabbits that live in a rabbit hutch. There's a mad rabbit who sees the future. He realises it's not a rabbit hutch. What do you call a warren?
Yeah, it's a warren, yeah.
Yeah, he lives in a warren. There's a mad rabbit. He sees that the builders are going to come and kill all the rabbits, so he convinces his brother and a load of other rabbits to bugger off and find somewhere else to live. Hence the name Watership Down, because that's where they end up going. There's stuff happens along the way. The leaders of the rabbit place where they're left, they're not happy about the buggering off. They send people to go and get them. There's loads of fighting. Rabbits die. They eventually get to where they want to go with the help of a bird who's from off of Italy. And it all ends happily ever after. So it's not all that depressing, but there are very depressing bits in it.
Is that bird David Jason? It certainly sounds like him.
No, it's not. No, it's a man called Leo Menefnagus.
Ah, it's a herd of rabbits. Don't call them a load of rabbits. It's a herd.
Well, it's not a herd. Rabbits aren't herds, are they? You don't get herds of rabbits.
Well, what is it? It's not a school or a flock, is it? It's a herd.
Well, it'll be a position of rabbits.
A position of rabbits.
A position of rabbit. Well, you get a... what do you get with crows? You get a...
murder?
Was it? A murder of crows. Yeah. That's what you get. You say, so it's probably a position of rabbits.
Well, I think you made that one up. I think it's a herd.
Well, anyway, this position of rabbits, they make their way across the English countryside. They bump into Hannah Gordon at one stage from off of Watercolour Challenge.
It's Gloria Hunniford does Watercolour Challenge, isn't it?
No, it's not Gloria Hunniford that does Watercolour Challenge. It was the lovely Hannah Gordon.
Right, OK. Rabbits, their teeth never stop growing. You know that?
Well, yeah, I do know that. And if you have a rabbit in captivity and feed it on, what do you feed rabbits on? Chips?
Egg and chips, mainly.
Egg and chips. You have to, what you do, kids, is you get a strong pair of wire cutters and take them to your rabbit's teeth every 3 weeks.
No, it's every 3 hours.
Is it? Mm. Right, well, if any children listening would like to write that down, the rabbits don't mind. There might be a bit of blood, but don't worry about it. If it all goes wrong, you can always eat the rabbit.
Just trying to remember who you've got in Watership Down. You've got Hazel, he dies.
Hazel, he is the leader of the rabbits. He dies, but he doesn't die until right at the very end, where you have to listen to that Art Garfunkel song. But he's played by John Hurt. Can you do an impression of John Hurt?
There may be spoilers in this segment, I should point that out.
Well, whatever. The film came out in 1978. If you're still having to warn people about spoilers about a film that came out last century...
You want me to do an impression of John Hurt?
Can you do an impression of John Hurt?
It's the Midnight Express. It's the fast train out of here.
How's that?
I'm going to bomb you.
I just want to sleep on a normal bed.
I'm going to bomb you.
Who are you being?
Well, I mean, in the first one, I was being the bloke who was trying to bum John Hurt, and in the second one, I was trying to be Anthony Hopkins.
Right, OK. So you've got Bigwig, he dies in a snare.
Well, Bigwig is voiced by a man called Michael Graham Cox, who, as we all know, was the kindly Mr. Butterworth in Grange Hill.
You know everything.
I do, yes. Fiver was played, who's Hazel's brother, he was played by Richard Briers. Do you remember him?
I do. I remember he was a simpering little thing, wasn't he, Fiver?
He was indeed. He was the mad one that foresaw the destruction of the Warren in Watership Down. Would you like me to do an impression of Richard Briers?
He was almost a soothsayer, wasn't he? Some sort of prophet seeing the...
He was a cross between Paul McKenna, the wizard...
Jesus.
...and Jesus and Paul Daniels.
Yes.
Ho-ho! No, that's not Richard Briers. Would you like me to do an impression of Richard Briers?
That was Paul Daniels, yes. Briers, please.
Well, if you could just run me in with your Penelope Kendall.
What, you mean The Good Life?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the pig's running rampage on the vegetable patch, Richard.
Oh, that's a shame, Margot.
That's quite good.
You see? Yes. Right, you also had Denham Elliott, he was in it.
Delamitri, they were in it, the Scottish
Delamitri,
power pop. Called
Nigel Havers, Nigel Hawthorne, and Roy Kinnear, who fell off a horse in Spain.
Now that's all-star British character actors.
That is, yeah. We usually were subjected to a film like this when we were quite small, weren't we?
Hmm.
I don't know when you first saw... When did you first see Watership Down? Were you wee?
I could only have been 6 or 7.
Right, did it upset you at the time?
It did, but not as much as Plague Dogs, you remember that?
Plague Dogs, that was even worse. That was an ant, that was a dog with a hole in its head, running away from an animal experimentation place with a dog. What was it? What that happened to the other dog?
Oh, I don't remember, but they were both in a bad way.
Something horrible. And anyway, they meet a war canny lad, wee fox, out on the moors. And I think it ends with them dying, doesn't it? Whilst paddling to an imaginary island full of dogs.
Yes, they're swimming away into the middle of the sea and they have no hope, I believe.
Yeah, and they're such a guy, it'll be all right, won't it? Yes, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. Oh, sure, it'll be all right. Meanwhile, you're crying because you're 7.
And then eventually they go glub, glub, glub and it fades to black.
Exactly. Now, this is the nub of my potato, my friend.
Yes.
That today's children, with their rastamices and their postman pats, are not subjected to the kind of miserableness that we were subjected to when we were children. For instance, we had Watership Down there, as you have mentioned, Plague Dogs. Threads, do you remember that?
Thread?
Yeah, Threads.
Yes, I remember Threads.
Hey, oh, it's no killer war!
Kablooey.
Kablooey! You know, loads of people... Well, you had miscarriages, people's faces melting, the whole of Sheffield falling. It'd be really depressing. That was the sort of stuff they showed kids in the olden days,
Threads,
wasn't it?
Threads wasn't a kids' show.
Hey, up! It's no killer war!
Yeah, so what are you suggesting? That maybe Rastamouse should, like Bob Marley, get cancer of every part of his body and die a young death?
Exactly, the very nub of my potato, and the reason I've brought up this particular potato from the archive of potatoes is that kids today don't know the bloody born because their Rastamouse doesn't die in a nuclear war or end up being eaten off of an eagle.
Hmm.
You see?
Loafers. Sandals. Platform shoes. Ups. Cowboy boots.
Winkle pinkers.
Waders.
High tops.
High tops.
High tops.
Waders.
Brothel creepers.
Combat.
Moccasins.
Combat.
Galoshes.
Galoshes.
Moccasins.
Galoshes,
galoshes,
brothel creepers,
spat,
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 spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, spat, sp
Now it's time for the Red Hot Spud.
Ooh!
It's the Red Hot Spud!
So this week we are talking Eurovision.
Eurovision, the Eurovision Song Contest, which this year is held in...
I don't know, where is it?
Europe!
Yeah, where in Europe?
In Europe?
Oh, blimey.
For any listeners who are unfamiliar with the Atlas of the world, Europe is it's the other side of the English Channel, near Kent.
Yeah, and this year, well, it's coming along in May, so we'd all better start getting ready for it, really.
May already? God, they come around fast, don't they? It's as quick as Wimbledon... Christmas, yes, it's fast, isn't
and
it?
And Beano annuals.
And Beano annuals. Well, that's Christmas.
Well, yeah, but it's annual, is what I'm saying.
Oh, it's an annual event. What, can you think of any other annual events?
My birthday.
Your birthday? Speaking of birthdays, it's my birthday soon.
When's your birthday?
On Sunday.
So if any listeners who won't be actually listening to this until next week would like to send something, you're too late.
Would you like to sing me happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Right, so what are we talking about? We're talking about England here, England's entry into the Eurovision Song Contest over the years.
Yeah, let's talk specifically, it's Great Britain, isn't it?
Great Britain, sorry, I do apologise to the Scotch, the Welsh and the other ones.
Now, obviously last year we had a torrid time with Josh Dubovy.
I don't even remember that rubbish.
I don't remember the tune. I know it was written by Peter Waterman. It was a song called That Sounds Good To Me.
That Sounds Good To Me. Well, it obviously didn't sound good to anybody else, did it?
Well, I wonder what the lyrics were to that. Something along the lines of, what's for dinner, my sweet? You say it's pie and peas. Well, that sounds good to me.
To me. Where we going on holiday? Minehead, you say? Well, that sounds good to me.
What should we watch on the TV? You want to turn to BBC Three? Well, that sounds good to me.
Etc, etc. I mean, I think we've pretty much covered that. The year before, wasn't Lord Lloyd Toad Thingamabob, wasn't he the man in charge?
Balloon Head.
He looks like... If you farted into a glass, he looks like that.
He looks like an inflated, corroded condom.
Imagine if there was something in your fart.
I once watched a dirty video. It was a blooper reel in which...
Was it Famous Tits and Arses?
No, it was worse than that. And a lady's bum fell out and it looked like Andrew Lloyd Webber.
What, her arsehole fell out?
Yeah, her bum actually fell out.
Oh, and it looked like Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, but it actually, him opposite Jade Ewan, who was the entry that year, it was quite a nice juxtaposition, sort of Beauty and the Beast.
Well, exactly, yeah, which, as we all know, is a tale as old as time.
Beauty and the Beast.
And the Beast. Which I think is how it goes, isn't it? I think that's the whole song.
But that wasn't the song they sang. They did a song called It's My Time, which I think is a colloquialism for I am about to menstruate.
Well, I know how that song goes. Would you like me to sing you a version?
Please do.
It's my time, it's my time, it's not your time, it's definitely my time, I'm in the book, look, it's my time, thank you.
Previous to that, 2008, Andy Abraham, do you remember him?
He was the bald fella who was Britain's most talented dustbin man, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, highly decorated bin man.
Was he knocking bin lids together?
Yes, I think it was a bit like that drum production stomp.
No wonder we lost. They're rubbish. I put them up there with the Cirque du Soleil's annoying London things that only people who are from Germany or somewhere like that go to watch on the night out just because it's in the West End.
Yeah, we came 23rd that year.
Yeah, year before? Was that Daz Sampson?
No, you're preempting it there. We had Scooch in 2007.
Oh, well, yeah, let's move on.
We're flying the flag all over
We're flying the flag for mediocrity.
Would you like some salted nuts, sir?
Yes.
That was one of the verbal inserts in the song.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was
that's dreadful.
A little bit camp, you know. 2006, Daz Sampson with Teenage
Daz Sampson. Oh, yeah. Now, he was rubbish, wasn't he?
Yes, it was pretty bad. And before that, 2005, 4-3, it's just a list of forgettable people.
Essentially, we've not done anything halfway decent since Katrina and the Waves accidentally won it for us back in the 1990s. That was a mistake.
97. But Gina G, the year before, was actually better than that, wasn't she?
What? Just a little bit. A little bit more. Just a little bit. No, thank you.
That's a proper song, though, that.
Yeah, but hang on. Katrina and the Waves. Love, shine a light in every corner of your garden. Let the love light. Travel over there. Thank you. That was all right.
I preferred the 95 entry, Love City Group.
That one.
No. It was in the morning when the sun shines. I've touched your body. I feel your fingers on my face.
That's quite nice. That sounds quite sexy.
And you got, well, it came 10th. I suppose it's not that bad.
Did it have the word booty in it?
It didn't have booty in it. Sonia, 93.
Now, hers, if I remember rightly, was... I can't remember.
It was Better the Devil You Know.
Oh, Better the Devil You Know than the Devil You Don't. Wasn't that another Pete Waterman?
It sounded like a Kylie song, didn't it?
It did. Well, I mean, I'm sure that was another Pete Waterman. I'm sure that was a Stock, Aitken and Waterman effort. In which case, Pete has sullied the Eurovision Song Contest on two occasions.
Yeah, Pete's...
Hang on.
Pete's ruining our Eurovision hopes.
Hang on.
What's that?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, right, OK. So, yeah, that's the history of the UK entries, pretty much bang to rights. We've summed up everything there, I think.
We did. Let's just not forget that we did win with Bucks Fizz, with Doing the Locomotion. And Cliff Richard came second with She's a Devil Woman.
No, he actually came
with Evil
Lot
of Mine. What?
Came third.
He came, well, Cliff came second with She's a Devil Woman with Evil on Her Mind.
Brotherhood
She's
of Man, they
get you
it.
From behind. The Isle of Man, that's never been an entry in the Eurovision Song Contest. Surely that comes under the canopy, the umbrella of the great British nation.
No, it won because they couldn't actually fit it in the auditorium, so it was just a default option they had to win.
You mean the Brotherhood of Man, not the Isle of Man.
Brotherhood of Man, save your kisses for me.
Shall I be the one with the moustache and you can be the one without the moustache?
Okay, I'm just pulling my pockets up slightly.
For this particular spud, I suppose we could lead out part one with a beautiful rendition of the Isle of Man's 1970 hit. That one. Are you ready?
Yeah, give me a counting.
A one, two, a one, two, three, four.
Oh, this is for me.
Save all your kisses for me.
Goodbye, my baby.
Good morning, Nurse Crowblood.
Good morning, Dr. Stoffnuffgen. May I say you're looking especially manly and dominant this morning. Have you been shaving?
Shaving? No, unless you've been shaving a few tees off my handicap, ha-ha. Now, what the devil's the matter with this patient, Nurse?
He was brought in complaining he would smell something funny, Doctor.
A smell, eh? Well, we'd better take a look at him, hadn't we? Good morning, I'm Dr. Stoffnuffgen. Could you show me your tongue? There's a good chap. I'm afraid it's as I feared, Mr...
Brounce, Alfie Brounce.
Mr. Brounce, yes. Now, I'm afraid I have some bad news, Mr. Brounce.
Yes, Doctor.
Yes, I'm afraid you're suffering from acute phlebitis of the lower hobuscules. Do you see?
Is it serious, Doctor?
I'm sorry to say it is, yes. Unless we operate to remove the tumour immediately, your innards will rapidly liquidise and fall out of your arsehole. After that, it's only a matter of time before your brain turns to mush and we have to legally declare you a medical potato.
I don't want my innards falling out of my arsehole, Doctor.
Oh, don't worry about that, old chap. I've never lost a patient yet and I don't intend to start now.
So what does this operation involve, Doctor?
Oh, it's a very simple operation. We make a small incision in your cheek and remove the tumour. The whole thing's over in a flash. Ha-ha!
Well, that sounds...
Well, then it's just a simple matter of removing your cock and balls, and you'll be as right as rain before you know it. Now, if there are no further questions, I'll bid you good day.
Hold on.
Yes, yes.
What was that last bit?
Last bit?
Yes, that last bit about cutting off me cock and bleeding balls.
What about it?
Well, it seems a bit extreme, if you don't mind me saying.
Do you want to die, Mr. Brounce?
Die? Well, no.
Well then, if you don't want to die, you'll do as you're bloody well told, you hear?
Dr. Stefnofnagun! Dr. Stefnofnagun!
Yes, nurse?
I simply can't hold it in any longer.
Oh, God, it's not another vaginal prolapse, is it?
No, I love you, do you see? I love you and I don't care who knows about it.
You love me?
Yes, I love your eyes, the way you smell.
I'm sorry about that.
Your masculine moustache and enormous feet. I want you, Dr. Stefnofnagun.
Control yourself, Nurse Crowblood. What if your husband, and my mortal enemy, I might add, Dr. Ifor Lanfidlin, were to hear you say you love me? What's this, Daphne? You love Stefnofnagun?
Ifor?
Lanfidlin!
Is Daphne in grave danger now Dr. Llanfidlin knows her passionate secret? Will Dr. St. Fofnagan profess he feels the same way and face incurring the wrath of Dr. Llanfidlin? And what has Dr. Llanfidlin got in store for his treacherous wife and Dr. St. Fofnagan now the truth is out? Tune in next month for another exciting episode of Nightingale Row.
And now it's time for part two of this particular potato, Eurovision, and more specifically our hopes this year.
Hang on. Tss. Ooh.
Are you right over there?
Yeah, I'm just testing to see if this red hot spot is still hot, red and hot.
Sizzling, is it?
It's sizzling hot spot. I've just burnt my finger.
Cripes, you want to get a plaster cast on that.
Okay, lovely. Well, so we're discussing this year's entry, which is, of course...
Popular boy band...
Blue!
And I believe, are you a fan of blues?
I'm a big fan of blues, yes. As we all know, Blue contains the members Simon Webb, Lee Evans, the monkey comedian, Duncan Goodhue, and Anthony Costa Coffey, the coffee magnate.
Yes, he's a barrister, isn't he?
He is a barrister. His father was also called Mr. Costa. And yes. he had the firm before he moved back to Cyprus and handed it over to... Absolutely.
And this is how he came to start Blue, isn't it? Serving coffee one day.
Yes, and the man from Big Breakfast came in and he said, look, take that's cancelled, obviously, because it's this time of the morning. Is there any chance you can just leave the coffee shop, come outside, sing a song, and Bob's your uncle? There was three fellas in there. They said, yeah, all right, we'll go outside. They did an outside broadcast. What I'm talking about, by the way, I bet you're now bewildered about the Big Breakfast, aren't you?
I have no idea where that comes into it.
The first time the world ever saw Blue was on one of those outside broadcast morning things on the Big Breakfast.
Oh.
Yeah, do you remember they used to go to, it was Cheggers, wasn't it, I think?
It was Cheggers, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was these four fresh-faced boys, as I say, Lee Evans, Duncan Goodhue, Simon... Peg and the other one, and there they were, and they sang an awful version of some rubbish, probably an Elton John song.
I thought you were a fan.
History was reborn.
What's your favourite Blue song?
That'd have to be the one that goes all rise for the other ones. That one.
I like the other one that got big. What was it called?
I know this one.
A one love for your mother's pride. A one love for
one
your Kingsmill loaf. A one love for the sun-blessed bread.
Cakes.
I like that one.
I'm going to tell it to your face. And I rest my case.
Yeah.
They're very down with the streets, aren't they, Blue?
They're quite urbane.
They're young, they speak street language, which I think... Do you know any street language?
They're very handy with the jive talk. One thing that I heard Lee Evans say when he was... I think it was in his Big Breakfast appearance, was that the rest of Blue are his brethren.
His brethren?
Yes, his...
That makes him sound like a cult.
That's a slang term, brethren.
Brethren? Does that mean bread?
And he said he's got split ends, which I think means that his house is divided.
No, women have split ends.
No, split ends with a Z.
No, it's a women's thing.
Anyway, Lee Evans, he's the one who sings very high-pitched.
So he sings like that?
Well, you've got... We could recreate it. I'll do the harmonies of the lower case. singers.
Of course, because you have the deeper voice.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And you can be Lee Evans. So what
I can't be Lee Evans. So you're being Simon Webb, Duncan Goodhue, and Anthony Costa Coffey, and I'm being Lee Evans.
Yeah, I'll do the bit where I go. I sing all the stuff about the court case, and then you just go, "I rest my case."
Okay, right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Do you need a 3, 2, 1?
I don't actually know the words. Can I look up the words?
Yes, I'll just fill in the blanks while you're doing that.
Please do.
Hello, you're listening to Hot Potatoes, the new podcast from the Hot Potatoes people. If you like potatoes, you might want to try crisps. Have you finished?
I'm just about done. I'm about to sing it.
Right, carry on.
Okay, when I say go, then you can do that bit, okay?
Okay, ready? I'm ready when you are.
One for the money and the three
boys. My kid.
No, you spoilt it.
Right, it wasn't a spoiler. You said go.
No, I'll click.
Yeah. Right.
One for the money and the free rides. It's two for the lie that you denied. All rise. All rise. All rise. All rise. All rise. Three for the calls you've been making. It's four for the times you've been faking. All rise. I'm going to tell it to your face. All rise.
Is it me? I rest. My case!
And that's,
you see?
That's exactly how blue sound.
Right, that's lovely. So, and now, as if we hadn't had enough of blue, we're getting more of them with this mysterious new song they're doing for the Eurovision Song Contest 2011.
And they promoted it in a very original way by weeing against an ATM machine.
They promoted it with urine?
Yes, Anthony Costa, the leader of blue...
He's the leader from Blue. I always had Duncan Goodhue, the swimmer, down as the leader.
No, he's a minor character. It's Anthony Costa Coffey who's the main leading barrister of the outfit.
Right.
Yes, he thought the best way to promote it, and I'd have to agree with him, it was massively innovative.
Was by pissing up a cash machine?
Well, in a nutshell, yeah.
Would it be on the flip side, the upside of a cash machine? I know how these young people speak.
I've seen a picture of it, and he pulled out a cash card, put it in the machine. I think he was on his phone at the same time.
Right.
Unzipped his fly, popped out his mini Costa, and whizzed while withdrawing and speaking.
And was he saying at the time, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce that we are the next entry to Eurovision, the song contest from off of abroad.
Yeah, I think he said he was proud to announce it.
Right. And do you know what the song's going to be?
Nobody knows. It's called I Can or I Can't, one of the two.
Well, I have used my scientific detective nose to come up with what I think the song is going to sound like.
Well, how did your nose do that?
Well, because I know that these are young people, these are young men, they're all in their early 20s, aren't they?
I think that's pushing it.
Right, well, they're all in their early 20s. They're from off of London. They use London street language, and as we all know, that's all profanities and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? Mm. And they like this rap music from off of abroad, America specifically.
So you've made a guess, have you?
Yes, I have made a guess at what I think will be the first verse of the Eurovision Song Contest entry for Great Britain for 2011. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Now, it does contain, I will warn you now, it does contain sexual references... street words and profanities.
Okay, it's got jive talking in it, you're saying?
It's got jive talking in it. Okay, so if you don't mind, here we go. Yo, Europeans, I'm making bacon. Up this bitch's ass, and she ain't faking. The farting noises coming off of her booty. She don't mind, she's doing her duty. Word up, hammer time, I own jewellery and a large car.
I rest my case.
And so do I. Whoa! The dangly boobies of Judi Dench. The dangly so low, they're forming a trench. I've never seen a pair of tits that dangle like that. Two bouncing balls of Judi Dench fat. Oh yes! Judi Dench's dangling knockers. If you don't admire them, you must be off your rocker. The buggers are dangling all over the shop. She has to use both hands to make the buggers stop. Hey! That's right! Those dangling boobies of the acting dame. Other pairs of knockers just don't seem the same. Just feast your eyes, let your adult mind absorb the sight of those magnificent swinging orbs. And now a quick musical interlude from Nick Taylor Washboard and yours truly on the spoons! Dear God! Judi Dench has a massive pair of tits. The first time I saw them, they brought on a fit. I'm slobbering and drooling from off of me mouth at the sight of them buggers slowly drifting south. Yes, please! The great big swinging tits of Judy, Judy, when I think about them, it's usually rudely. I can't get enough of that mammary stuff. Dame Judy Dench, I think I'm in love. Ho ho! Everybody! Judy's boobies are a sight to behold. I tell you this, I'm well and truly sold. Ending up a feather, if I may be so bold. Those dangling boobies are worth their weight in gold. That's right! Those dangling boobies worth a weight in gold. Ho ho! Those dangling boobies worth a weight in gold. Gold! Gold! You see? Lovely.
Well, that,
ooh, lovely, lovely.
That draws a close to the first ever inaugural Hot Potatoes podcast.
That, my friend, is three potatoes peeled, examined, successfully eaten, consumed. They are now in our bellies. You, the great British public, will no longer need to worry yourself about those particular potatoes. They are done.
And you can tell it's done because in the background I can hear domestic goings on in your house. There's a dog hanging around mine, so...
Yeah, there's the little lady's making a cup of tea. Oh, no, she's giving me the finger. I won't say that again.
Well, it's technically time to go. But before we do, I'd just like to draw your attention, listeners, to the fact that you can now email us if you just want a little shout-out on the radio.
Or if you'd like to suggest your own potato.
Absolutely. We're always willing to take on new potatoes and accommodate them within us.
Can I just stop you there?
Yes.
I see what you did there.
Good.
You said new potatoes.
New potatoes, like the small, small potato.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hotpotatoespodcast@gmail.com. That's hotpotatoespodcast@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, just look for us and all that stuff.
Yeah, if you want to leave us a name dribble on rubbish like that, Facebook, what have you, we're probably there, aren't we?
Yeah, you just have to search around a bit, don't you?
Jubbly! OK, well, I suppose it only remains for me to say, from this particular potato, goodbye, and from you...
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Potato.
Goodbye.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Hot Potatoes podcast. Your boiled potatoes this month were Liam Tucker and his butter, BP Perry on knife duty, Nick Tan holding the salt and pepper shakers, and me, the posh bird from off of the down south, holding out a big plate, waiting patiently for my potato dinner. I love potatoes, me, which is why I'm happy to take time out from being posh and doing posh things, such as hunting at some foxes and playing polo mints with Prince William, to be a part of this unusual information super bridal way experiment. Until next time, have a lovely life, and may the potatoes go with you. See? Even my cough's posh.